Hello, listeners to Osho Radio. Welcome back to our new program. Today we are starting the program with some global world music by Kailash and friends. We have wonderful music for you. Soulful music, meditative music. Just for 1 hour, sit back and relax. Maybe you want to light a candle. Make sure you have this 1 hour for yourself, just to enjoy. Enjoy Osho's words, the music and the meditation that we will give to you later on in the program.
Wise woman, I'm calling you. Weise Frau, ich rufe dich. Estoy llamando.
Dancing in circles, women of the world, walking down the ages through fire undisturbed, step by step, and hand in hand, healing Mother Earth, keepers of the secret songs of life.
The discourse today is from a series called The First Principle. It is not a very well-known book, but maybe you can find it somewhere, or you can check it out on the internet through oshoworld.com. It is a very basic book. Like the title says, The First Principle, it's all about oneness. In the discourse today, Osho is talking about the fact that all that we have in our lives has been created by ourselves, and how we continue to do this day in, day out. Where would we be without all that? Who would we be? The secret, Osho says, is in doing all these things. Just do them with choiceless awareness. In fact, do not choose at all, and let things be just as they are. And let you be just as you are, without all the stories, without all the arrangements. In this discourse you'll find many hidden treasures. Around every corner, Osho comes up with a new insight, and it seems they're all there, especially for you, coming in at the right time. Always different, always nourishing, always just what you needed in this very moment.
The sixth question, no effort is required to be born, no effort is required to die, no effort is required to fall in love. Why is such effort required to know God? Through meditation, when this seems to be the most natural thing, is God trying to test us in some way? First thing, no effort is required in meditation either. Meditation also comes on its own accord. By effort it never comes. To whom meditation has happened by effort? It will be almost like making an effort to love somebody. How can you make any effort to love somebody? The more effort you make, the more the love will be false, pseudo, just a pretension. Love has to arise naturally. So arises meditation. But all meditators are not spontaneously in it, and neither are all lovers spontaneously in it. In fact, psychologists say a tremendous discovery that if love is not talked about, 99% people will never know anything about it. If love is not talked about, if poets don't go on praising it, and if traditionally literature is not available about love, 99% people will never be aware that anything like love exists. They will know about sex, but not about love. But because of the poets and because of the novelists and because of the films and the TV, So much love is talked about that everybody starts thinking that he is in love. That love is also false. And same is the case with meditation. 99% people start meditating because meditation is talked about. There are times when it becomes fashionable. America is passing through such a phase. Meditation is talked about. Everybody is doing meditation. If you are not doing, you must be missing something. You don't feel any need for it. It has not arisen in your being. You have not come to that point of evolution where meditation happens on its own accord. But everybody is doing. And everybody is going to the masters. And everybody is sitting silently. Somebody is doing Zazen and somebody is doing TM and somebody is doing dynamic. You must be missing something. So greed arises. Out of greed you start making efforts. That effort is not for meditation. That effort is to gain something which you think will be gained out of meditation. These phases come and go. These cults arise and disappear. These are just like fashions. The real meditator has not come to meditate because others are meditating, but a deep need has arisen in him, has become a knocking in his heart, a continuous knocking. The whole world seems to be meaningless. He wants to go in. He wants to know who he is, not because others have known. If there are nobody propagating meditation and no books are available and all books are destroyed and all masters go and hide in the caves in the Himalayas, then too there will be few people who will meditate, who will find how to meditate on their own accord. Those will be the real meditators. And for them meditation will be just as easy as anything. It will be just like breathing. When such a man comes, then any technique functions for him. I observe every day, if somebody whose time has come to meditate, it is just like sexual maturity. A boy of 3 years has no idea about sex. And even if the boy of 3 years comes to see a man making love to a woman, he will not understand what is happening. At the most, he will think the man is trying to kill the woman. They are fighting or something. He will not have any idea what is happening. By the age when he is 14, suddenly something explodes in his biology. He is not aware what it is, but something is happening. He is no more the same. And then follows a time, a period of very much embarrassment, because the boy does not know what exactly is happening, but something is happening. Something very much unknown. Something which is creating trouble. Something which is hovering around. And he does not know what it is and how to tackle with it and how to figure it out. It is a natural phenomenon. Now the sex has become mature. The sex gland is secreting. Almost if life goes naturally, beautifully, if there are no life negative teachers, if there are no politicians and priests to distract you, then near about the age 42, exactly as sex maturity comes, comes meditation maturity. Near about the age 42, one starts feeling to fall within words. Near the age 14, one starts falling towards the others, becomes extrovert. Love is extroversion. Relationship is to think of the others. Meditation is introversion. Meditation is to think of one's own self, of one's own center. Between the 14 and the 42, there comes a change. By and by, one lives the life, knows what love is, knows its fulfillment and its frustration, knows its joy and its sadness, knows its beauty and its ugliness, knows that there are moments of great ecstasy and then great valleys of darkness. Then one starts by and by moving towards his own self. Because to depend on the others can never be really ecstatic. If your joy depends on the others, that joy can never have the quality of freedom in it. And a joy which has not the quality of freedom is not much joy. If you are dependent on the others, then there is a limitation. And the joy that comes through love is momentary. You can meet with the other only for moments. And then again you are separate. And you fall apart. Just in the middle of it you fall apart. Just for a moment you become joined together. Then one starts thinking, is there a way to become one with existence and never to fall apart again? That's what meditation is. Love is joining through another person with existence for moments only. Meditation is getting joined together with existence eternally.
Thank you.
Yoga means to join together. This has to be somewhere in the deepest core to happen. And then there is joy, and then there is freedom, and then there is bliss, and there is no dark valley following it. Then happiness is eternal. Then celebration is eternal. But that moment comes. That too comes, remember. So you ask, no effort is required to be born. No effort is required to die. No effort is required to fall in love. I would like to tell you, no effort is required to fall in meditation either. But if there are hindrances, for example, in a primitive community, when the child is born, there is no effort, either on the side of the child or on the side of the mother. But that is not the case in a civilized society. Effort is needed. The doctor's help is needed. Much effort is needed to help the child to be born. And the mother feels so much pain. And you don't know how much pain the child feels. That small tube, the small passage from the mother's womb to the world is very painful. And the child wants to get out of it. And he thrusts hard to get out of it. And the mother feels painful because the passage is small and the child is big. And she wants to hold unconsciously. She cannot hold. In the nature of things, the child has to come out. But there is a struggle. The mother and the child conflict has started. The child wants to get out and the mother is afraid. And she is holding. She is controlling. This is true about the civilized person, not true about the uncivilized. The uncivilized mother simply goes with it. The mother is helpful. The child simply floats and comes out. In fact, you will be surprised to know that primitive women know such pleasure and ecstasy in childbirth that the ecstasy that comes through sexual orgasm is nothing compared to it. The civilized person needs much effort to be born. Maybe the mother has been given tranquilizers, sedatives. She has been put into unconsciousness, so she does not pass through great pain. Or even the birth may be the birth of a caesarean. The mother may have to be operated. The doctor is needed, the nurse is needed, the midwife is needed. Why? To undo the wrong that the society has done. You say no effort is required to die, you are again wrong. You can go and see in the American hospitals. Many old people are ready to die and they want to die. They are not allowed to die. The question of euthanasia has become one of the most important questions for the future. Because the medical science has really evolved and it can help a person to live for 200 years or even more. He may not have much of a life, but he can hang. He can hang in a hospital. He will not be able to move or to talk or to love, but he can be just there vegetating. It will be tremendous misery and hell. Now, if he wants to die, no society allows him to die. They say it is illegal. You cannot commit suicide. A person who has become 130 or 140 years of age wants to die because his existence is simply torture. The society seems to be very sadist. They say you are not allowed to die. you will have to live. And the doctors will continue to help you to live because they have much compassion on you. Because of the compassion, you will have to live. Now his wife is dead, his children are dead, his relations are dead, his friends are gone, and he is hanging. For no purpose. He does not know what is going to happen tomorrow, just hanging and hanging and hanging. Can you think the misery that he will feel? And then there will be need to commit suicide. He will have to find ways and means. Maybe he will have to bribe the doctor to cut the connection from the oxygen tank. Are not to give me any more medicines. He may have to bribe. Effort will be needed. Natural death is natural, but man is not natural anymore. So nothing is natural, not even death. If you naturally die, that will be a totally different thing. But you don't live naturally, how can you die naturally? Death has to be the culmination of whatsoever you have done in your life. If you have lived unnaturally, you will die unnaturally. A natural death is possible only if the life has been natural. So the questioner asks, no effort is required to die. You are true. In a very primitive society, no effort is required. But because of the compassion of the missionaries, primitives have disappeared. They are all become educated people now. Now effort is needed to die. Why so many people commit suicide? And the suicide rate goes on growing every year. Why? Is not natural death enough? Suicide means death with effort. And the suicide rate will go higher and higher if the governments are too adamant to relax and they don't allow people to die and they force them into nurseries and into hospitals and force them to live against their wishes, then more and more suicides will be there. Man has disturbed all that is natural. Natural has disappeared. All that is nature has disappeared. Everything is false and plastic. Hence, meditation has also to be false and plastic. But real meditation never happens by effort. Then what one has to do? You have to do some effort in the beginning. Otherwise, you will never come close to any meditation technique, close to any meditation school. You will have to go through effort because you have become unnatural beings. Making effort will help you to understand what meditation is. It will not lead you into meditation. It will simply help you to understand what meditation is. It will help you to understand whether you can fall into that space called meditation easily or not. If you feel that it comes very easily to you, you can fall in that space and you can reach that space, effort will disappear by itself. There will be no need. You can simply sit with closed eyes and it is there. It is so natural. But once it happens, it is very natural. And unless it has happened, you will not be able to know whether you are a natural meditator or not. So effort will be needed. Man has been made so artificial that everything will have to be made through effort. But by making effort, you will come to feel and see whether you can easily float into it or not. And you ask, why is such effort required to know God when this seems to be the most natural thing? If it is the most natural thing, then it must have happened to the questioner. It has not happened. Otherwise you will not be here. What a God-realized man is doing here. There is no point. Your seeking has stopped if you have known. Yes, once you know, it is very simple and easy. But until you know it, effort will be needed. And remember, effort is not needed for meditation. Effort is needed to undo what the society has done to you. A dehypnosis is needed. The society has hypnotized you. The society has conditioned you, and unconditioning is needed. The society has made you dirty. A cleansing is needed. A good shower. That's what your effort is. Once you have started feeling that meditation is your innermost quality, you can go into it any time. It is so easy as breathing. Then all effort disappears. And you ask, is God trying to test us in some way? No. There is no God in the first place to test you. And even if there is a God, He is not in any way interested in testing and examining you. What is the point? And He is not a sadist to torture you. Teachers are sadists. Examiners are sadists. You can ask the psychologists. They say people who want to torture others, they become teachers. Some tendency to torture. And you cannot find more beautiful opportunities than small children. Torture them, test them, examine them. And for their own good. And nobody can prevent you because you are doing for their own good. God is not in any way interested in testing you. The problem is not arising because of God. The problem is arising because of your society, your politics, your priesthood. They have made you in such a way that you cannot meditate. They have made such simple things impossible. The society has taught you to think, and to think continuously, and to think skillfully and cleverly. It has not allowed you to know that there are spaces of no thought. Because the society is afraid, those spaces of no thought are very dangerous. Those spaces of no thought are very crazy. Those spaces of no thought will give you great joy, but will make you so rebellious. Those great spaces will make you very, very happy, but a happy person becomes free. He cannot be easily enforced to do foolish things. You cannot send him to the army. He will say, nonsense. I am so happy, why I should go and kill other and be killed? You cannot send him to the military. He will simply say no. You cannot force him to do foolish things for his whole life like a machine. He will say, why? I will do things that I like and that I love. A ecstatic person is a rebellion in the world. You cannot tell him to just be a clerk in an office and go on filing things, putting files upon file, whole his life. He will say, I will go and become a farmer because I love trees. If I am not going to be rich, it is okay. My richness will be of the inner. I am going to become a fisherman. I will be on the open sea. I don't want to become a clerk. But then things will be difficult for the society. Society needs clerks. Society needs soldiers. Society needs very repressed people whose energies are boiling inside and has no way to go anywhere.
So they can be put into any work. Society arranges in such a way that you can become slaves. The society is not here to make you free people. Because with freedom, politics will disappear, states will disappear. In a free world, there will be no nation. And there will be no need for nations, and there will be no need for armies. Millions of people just wasting their life, doing parades. Left turn, right turn, turn about. Millions of people doing it very happily. And thinking they are doing great things, great service to humanity. Who would like it? They would like to become singers or dancers. Good if you dance, but turn about, left turn, right turn. Have you ever seen any bird doing right turn, left turn? Have you seen any animal? They dance. Yes, they dance, but dance is a totally different thing. People will dance and people will sing and people will go into the forest and chop wood and they will go to the sea and fish and they will go to the mountains. They will do farming, gardening. They will be carpenters, weavers, spinners. But people will do something that they like to do. Right now you are doing something that the government wants you to do. And the subtle is the trick. The university, the school, the college, subtle is the trick to enforce you into something which you never wanted to do. Then, of course, if you remain miserable, it is just understandable how you can be happy. It is very rare that you come across a celebrating being, because it is very difficult to escape from the prisons the society has created around you. In a natural world, things will be just the reverse. It will be very difficult to find a miserable man. Why? There seems to be no need to be miserable. Buddhas will be just common. Rarely you will find a man who is not a Buddha, if things go natural, but things are not natural. That's why even you have to learn how to meditate, and you have to learn how to love, and you have to learn how to be happy, and you have to learn how to know God.
The meditation today is from a Hindi book called the Kathopanishad. It has been translated into an English version under the title Message Beyond Words. I found a very beautiful meditation in the book, and it is about breathing. Buddha has said that when you breathe, you should remain aware of the breath touching your nose. You should be conscious of the breath touching your nose as it goes in, and when the breath goes down into the throat, you should be aware that it is touching the throat. And when the breath reaches to the lungs and goes down into the belly, you should continue to witness it. Your awareness should follow it. Then the breath will stop for a moment. There will be a gap. And that gap is very valuable. When you take a deep breath in, for a moment there will be no breath, in or out. Everything will stop. The breath will go out. After resting for a few seconds, it goes out. Then your awareness should also go out with it. Rise with it. Come to the throat with it. Come to the nose with it. When it goes out, you just go on following it. Again, after it has gone out, everything will stop for a second. Then a new breath will start. Again, in, and again, out. Buddha has said that you should make a string of beads with the breath, and in this way you can awaken your remembrance with each breath.
دست های من روی پوستت، ساقه های التماسه، نفسات تو وقت سرما روی پوست من لباسه. با تو بودن یه تبرک، سایه بونه امن و دلچسب. تن من دل ضربه های تن تو خوب میشناسه. نیادون لحظه الهی که تو رو از من بگیره، روزگاری که تو فرداش سرنوشتی ناگزیره. ستاره یاد کنی، چشاتو بدی به من، به من اعتماد کنی. زیر سقف مهربونی زندگیمو خواب کنی. اگه خواستی روی حرفام میتونی حساب کنی. دستای من روی پوست، ساقه های التماس، نفسات تو وقت سرما روی پوست من لباس. با تو بودن یه تبرک، سایه بونه امن و دلچسب. تن من دل ضربه های تن تو خوب میشناسه. تو میتونی، تو میتونی از ستاره یاد کنی، چشاتو بدی به من، به من اعتماد کنی. زیر سقف مهربونی زندگیمو خواب کنی، اگه خواستی روی حرفام میتونی حساب کنی.
Listening to Osho Radio. In this program, we were playing music by Kailash and a group called The Atmospheres. After the discourse, you were listening to Deva Premal, music by Hatef from Iran, and we will finish the program with Deva Kant. Goodbye, everybody. Stay tuned to Osho Radio and make sure you're with us again next week. Take care, have a beautiful week, and namaste to all of you. Bye-bye.